It's common knowledge that you don't want to be on or under Seattle's Alaskan Way Viaduct in an earthquake. But you might not know that bridges on I-5 and 405 are also vulnerable to severe earthquake damage. It turns out the concrete columns holding up some big bridges are hollow inside. KUOW investigative reporter John Ryan takes a look at this little-known weakness inside our heavy infrastructure.
I'm standing by the banks of the Green River in Tukwila, right where it passes underneath Interstate 405. The bottom of the bridge is just a few feet over my head. The main thing keeping that traffic off my head and out of the river is a series of 20 concrete columns. They're all hollow. With me here is WashDOT bridge engineer Dwayne Wilson. Dwayne, why are these columns a concern?
If a severe earthquake hit, there's a high risk that the inside could break loose and the column could actually implode. So it would collapse on the inside. We don't know exactly the level and the mechanism, but it is a high concern.
Imploding concrete isn't just a concern at this bridge on the Green River. Western Washington has more than 20 bridges built like this, many of them on the busiest highways in the Seattle area. The State Transportation Department has known that the columns are vulnerable for more than a decade. Some of those bridges are being replaced along Highway 520 in Seattle and on I-5 in Tacoma. But the rest? There are no plans to do anything to keep those other bridges on 405, I-5, or elsewhere from collapsing in a big earthquake. Wilson says WashDOT is responsible for some 3,200 bridges around the state.
We're more concerned about just regular deterioration on our older bridges, and we're trying to keep the whole bridge network statewide open. So that is of higher priority right now.
Washington has more highways on hollow supports than other earthquake-prone states. To see why, you have to go back to the 1950s.
These new highways will have a far-reaching economic impact on the entire nation.
America's new interstate highway system is growing at breakneck speed. The highway lobby puts out ads and whole movies to convince the nation it's money well spent.
The nation's road builders, with specialized equipment and modern techniques, build roads of the highest quality at the lowest cost.
One modern technique of the early 60s was a stronger material called pre-stressed concrete. A company in Tacoma called Concrete Tech pioneered its use in America. The stronger concrete meant builders needed less of it to make a column strong enough to hold up a bridge. Those hollow columns were light enough to be built in Tacoma and then trucked up to construction sites around Western Washington. Local bridge builders snapped them up, and the Puget Sound region became a hotbed of hollow column bridges. As Dwayne Wilson told me, it made sense at the time. The hollow columns are almost as strong as solid ones, at least when the earth isn't moving.
What was kind of the earthquake thinking back then?
There wasn't really much, especially in the early 60s. Earthquakes just weren't a thought to most bridge engineers.
Engineering professor John Stanton met me beneath another hollow column bridge, Seattle's Portage Bay Bridge on Highway 520. We're standing in a concrete grove of columns. The busy highway is maybe 50 feet over our heads.
If a big earthquake happened right now, here we are, what would you do?
I would stop talking and run to get out from underneath the bridge very rapidly. This is not a good place to be in an earthquake.
Stanton teaches at the University of Washington. His experiments back in the 1980s showed that hollow columns could implode in a big quake.
And a couple of other people had noted the same thing before that, so it wasn't news. At the time, I was not aware that WashDOT had built a lot of bridges using these very large hollow columns.
Decision makers didn't pay much attention to WashDOT's large hollow columns until an accident one night on Lake Washington more than a decade later. In the summer of 2000, a wayward gravel barge plowed into the 520 bridge. A bridge column shattered. The accident helped spur the current megaproject to replace the half-dozen bridges on 520 and its various ramps. A year later, the Nisqually quake generated more interest in making our infrastructure safer in a big earthquake. But WashDOT engineers decided these hollow column bridges were not a priority. Here's Dwayne Wilson with WashDOT.
Nisqually, these bridges survived very well. They didn't experience any damage at all.
But the Nisqually quake was nowhere near as big as what might hit us.
If we get the big one that they're expecting, which is be the subduction zone earthquake, there's a potential for damage.
Geologists say we've got about a 1 in 6 chance of a big one from the Cascadia subduction zone hitting us in the next 50 years, or a big one could strike from the Seattle fault that runs right through the city. So far, WashDOT has spent nearly $200 million trying to harden its old bridges that don't have hollow columns. The agency has focused mostly on bridges that would be critical if the Seattle-Tacoma region needed to recover from a massive quake. WASHDOT calls it the seismic lifeline. That lifeline is in long-term limbo.
Over the next 6 years, we are not funding any additional seismic retrofits.
Aside from the money problem, there is no known way to make hollow columns resist earthquakes better. WASHDOT has asked John Stanton to see if there's a way out of this conundrum.
With great difficulty.
Stanton says if you tried to fill the hollow columns with concrete, they'd probably just burst from the added pressure. WASHDOT has wrapped steel around some solid bridge columns, but that wouldn't stop a hollow column from crumbling apart on the inside. Stanton says if WASHDOT can fund the work, he'd need about a year and a half to study whether there's a way to fix the hollow columns. Even if fixing the missing links in the region's seismic lifeline would be difficult and expensive, Stanton says doing so now makes sense.
Right now we're in a period of very low interest rates, and this would be a perfect time to invest in infrastructure because essentially you can buy it cheap. So why aren't we doing that?
Of course, state government and even WASHDOT have many competing demands for the tax dollars they spend. WASHDOT estimates more than $1 billion of seismic upgrades are still needed on the state's highways. That figure doesn't include any estimate for replacing or fixing the state's hollow columns. In Seattle, I'm John Ryan, KUOW News.